Chapter 4. They brought Garrick back to Theonis Corral in the night. Wait Courtney drove the buggy very slowly and carefully, and Sean trailed a long way behind it. He was cold in his thin khaki shirt, and sick in the stomach with what he had seen. There were bruises on his upper arm where his father had held him and forced him to watch. The servants had lanterns burning on the veranda. They were standing in the shadows, silent and anxious. As Waite carried the blanket-wrapped body up the front steps, one of them called softly in the Zulu tongue, "The leg?" "It is gone," Waite answered gruffly. They sighed softly all together, and the voice called again, "He is well?" "He is alive," said Waite. He carried Garrick through to the room that was set aside for guests and sickness. He stood in the centre of the floor, holding the boy, while his wife put fresh sheets on the bed. Then he laid him down and covered him.
"Is there anything else we can do?" asked Ada.
"We can wait."
Ada groped for her husband's hand.
"Please, God, let him live," she whispered. "He's so young."
"It's Sean's fault."
Waite's anger flared up suddenly.
"Gary would never have done it on his own."
He tried to disengage Ada's hand.
"What are you going to do?" she asked.
"I'm going to beat him. I'm going to thrash the skin off him."
"No, please don't."
"What do you mean?"
"He's had enough. Didn't you see his face?"
Waite's shoulders sagged wearily, and he sat down on the armchair beside the bed. Ada touched his cheek.
"I'll stay here with Gary. You go and try to get some sleep, my dear."
"No,"
Waite said.
She sat down on the side of the chair, and Waite put his arm around her waist. After a long while they slept, huddled together on the chair beside the bed.